Welcome, everybody, to our latest podcast. Today, I'm joined by one of my business partners, John Newsome.
Good afternoon.
And I said last time, John, that we would do one of these podcasts without mentioning inflation or interest rates. And guess what? This isn't going to be it.
Yes, well, it's proving a little sticky, isn't it?
It is. So just to recap, the CPI measure of inflation here in the UK was down to 2.3%, which on the face of it sounds good, but the market was expecting somewhere in the region of 2.1%. So it's, as you say, it's proving a little bit more sticky. But I think the bigger issue was core inflation, which is significantly above target and is proving even more difficult to come down. And then, of course, we've had this big announcement that the 4th of July, there's going to be a general election and we're all going to go and have to vote. Don't call me cynical, but on the 19th of July, there's going to be another inflation print. So what's happened is that, as I think most people know, it's a 12-month moving average. And in April 2023, the energy cap rose significantly. So that stoked inflation back there, and that was a nasty figure. That figure has now dropped out, and I, being cynical, think that the June figure will be quite good on the 19th of June, and then the following day, on the Thursday, the 20th, the Bank of England are going to announce what's going to happen to interest rates. So I'm going to stick my neck out and say that interest rates are going to come down from 5.25%. And they'll drop by 25 basis points to 5%. And then Mr. Sunak can blow his own trumpet and we will all go to the polls on the 4th of July, but not John because he's going to Japan. And I think that that's the best that Sunak can hope for, because I think that further down the line this year, there are going to be some not good inflation figures, which is going to mean that the chances of interest rates falling are going to go out of the window. But of course, John, I could be completely incorrect.
It has happened before, though.
It has.
By the by, I wonder if Rishi Sunak has dried out yet, because he looked a bit damp yesterday, didn't he?
He did, he did.
And of course, the Bank of England is independent, so it will be crunching all the data. But I think when you mention the core level of inflation, that is the problem. And really, I think that chimes with a long-held view of ours, which is that Western economies have become more prone to inflationary aggravations. And at the moment, with energy prices falling, you have seen the headline figure come down, which looks good. But when you're well into the threes, was it 3.8 on core?
I think something like that, 3.9, yeah.
That shows, I believe, the real problem when it comes to trying to get back towards target. You know, once the volatile stuff goes the right way, suddenly it looks like you're making progress. But if underneath you've got these inflationary aggravations, then your job, I would argue, is a little more difficult.
Across the pond, it's a slightly different situation. You have got the same sticky inflation, but the job figures seem to be doing reasonably well. But the US economy is running hot, which is good. So I think the scope for reducing interest rates in America is subsiding by the day. And as I've said, if you've been on a desert island for the last 40 years, and the first thing you said to your rescuer was, what are interest rates in the UK? And the rescuer had said 5.25%, you would think that that was relatively low, or you definitely wouldn't think it was high.
Once the financial crisis came along, I think there's so many people who think that these kind of rates are somehow high. I can remember, I think my first mortgage was 10%, and I thought that was quite low, actually, by the standards of the time. And now I accept that due to the disinflation that came about from China's increasing integration into the world economy, rates generally did come down, bond yields came down. But that doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to stay here. I think in my opinion, too many people think that the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years are somehow normal. I think they are absolutely abnormal. And we have never seen monetary policy like we've seen QE, all the rest of it. And no one shouldn't say technically it's the printing of money, it's the electronic creation of money, but I would argue it's pretty much the same thing. And governments have got hooked on it. They all now have huge deficits. I'd be interested to see how do they propose to close them, if indeed they do propose to close those deficits. But you can't keep printing and you can't keep borrowing. I know that's such a last century concept, but at some point is going to be a major problem.
I don't think that politicians have worked out that they can't keep printing. I mean, this country, as you say, is spending £3 billion more a week than it earns. I mean, as an individual, if you earn £50,000 a year and you're spending £10,000 a month, ultimately, the banks will call in their debts.
Absolutely. You don't have to be an economist. In fact, actually, to be an economist, I think it's a major problem to understanding any of this, because not many of them seem to. It's happening everywhere. There will be consequences of that, I have no doubt.
Today, the UK retail sales have come in weaker. So another sign that people are tightening their belts. I mean, I know some people think I might be a bit daft, but I went over to Manchester on Monday for a meeting. But I was on the M62 and there was a lack of lorries. I mean, it's as simple as that. To me, lorries reflect economic activity and there were a lack of them.
So the Duncan Williams Freight Index was showing a negative print, was it?
It was.
Right.
Obviously, change of government, people want to know how that's going to affect their investments, what they should be doing, etc. We as a business invest the majority of clients' money in either overseas equities or in multinational UK registered businesses. The obvious one is Nestlé. We've mentioned Nestlé before. What happens if Keir Starmer on the 4th of July walks into number 10? Will that upset the price of Nestlé? And the answer to that is it won't make diddly squat difference to it. I think that is the case with a lot of our investments. I think what is more prevalent is what happens to the pound, because if the pound were to weaken, that might cause some problems.
It could easily lead to a bout of imported inflation, I would argue. So I don't really think from a macroeconomic point of view, any change of government is going to have really much difference. Whether this one were to be re-elected, whether Labour were to be elected. I can't see that there is really going to be any substantial difference, because they're all starting from the same place. And Labour will, I would imagine, tinker with personal taxation. But after that, I can't see there's going to be much difference.
No, I mean, I don't want to have to eat humble pie in one of these podcasts later in the year. But to me, the economy is similar to a supertanker. It's not going to slow down or speed up or turn left or turn right, regardless of whether Keir Starmer or Rishi Sunak are in charge of it. It's going to take an awful lot to make a significant amount of difference. I think that, as Liz Truss found out, it's actually bond markets which are really in control. So if Keir Starmer does something which the markets don't like, then the price of bonds will fall, that yields will go up, currency might drop, upward pressure on inflation and on interest rates.
Well, yeah, sounds like it could happen.
So we shall see. The next thing is, we have already had one or two people saying, do we need to do anything with our investments? So to me, the majority of our clients, the answer is no. We're already invested in first-class companies and funds which invest in first-class companies, multinationals. We have been using people's ISA allowances wherever possible. So clients have a significant amount of capital in ISAs, if not all their capital in ISAs. So there should be no income tax and no capital gains tax. There is obviously a possibility that the rules may be changed, in which case that would cause a problem. But we're doing everything we can for clients and trying to take into account all eventualities for a change in government. Another one which is worth considering is pension contributions. Do you make a pension contribution sooner rather than later in case there's a budget and a flat level of tax relief is introduced? That's a possibility. But in general, I think that our clients are in a good position and there is no rush to make any changes.
Yes, I would concur.
So, John, I think we're going to be in for an interesting 6 weeks. There seems to be very much enthusiasm about this upcoming general election.
Well, there doesn't, does there? No. I mean, my guess is it'll be probably the lowest turnout of any general election. Turnouts have probably over the last 20 years been falling, but I really do wonder if this could get to sort of 50%-ish.
Mm-hmm. And the leader in the polls at the moment are the undecided, so... Yeah, we'll see what happens. So today we've spoken about inflation and interest rates, as we said we wouldn't do. And we've also been talking about the general election and what, if anything, you should be doing with your investments. So we will be back in another 2 weeks and we'll have an update and see where things are progressing. So thank you very much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. Please do tell your friends and do ask them to subscribe if they've enjoyed it.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This material shouldn't be considered as advice or an investment recommendation. You should consult an advisor regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority prior to making investment decisions. All investments carry a degree of risk. The value of any investment or income received from it can go up as well as down, and you may not get back the amount invested. Information recorded within this podcast was accurate at the time of recording.